Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Monday, the start of a brand new week, and it is already crazy. I forgot to turn off that little notifier sound there. I apologize for that little blurb of sound there. But it's June 22nd, Monday, the start of we're pretty much close to the last week in June. We're into summer. Summer officially began yesterday, and the weather here is actually it's a little bit rainy here today out here on the island of Oahu, which is fine. We needed it here. Boy, I just say the things just get crazier and crazier. If you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Donovan is in the control room. His hand is hovering over the phone. He's waiting to pounce on your phone calls as soon as they come in. Let's get right to the top here. It was a bad day on the Dow. 200 points off on the World Bank report, which basically says in a nutshell, the economy is not recovering. The economy is not recovering. Oil prices have dropped. Gasoline prices are starting to drop again. That's certainly not the case here in Hawaii. It's about $3 a gallon here. And, of course, that also mitigates against our local tourism industry. Now, across the country, again, we're seeing more and more situations here. The numbers on welfare are increasing sharply. People are having to turn to whatever programs they can find. And this is amazing because only a few years ago, during the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton signed legislation basically saying to end welfare as we know it. I am so glad that he wasn't able to implement that because right now people would be hungry. They'd be starving to death without any kind of social services. This is why we need these programs, why we need some kind of social safety net, because when the government screws up the economy, there's got to be something to prevent the people from falling all the way down to the rocks below, which is exactly what has happened here. Meanwhile, we're seeing the return of the soup kitchens here in the United States of America. There have been all these large corporations that have been soliciting donations to help fight hunger around the world. Now it's here in the U.S. There are these programs going on. Kellogg's is apparently championing one of the programs. They're trying to raise money to operate soup kitchens across the country for Americans. For Americans. Folks, this is a depression. Don't let the government and the corporate media kid you or distract you with Iran and North Korea. We are in a depression, and it's going to be this one is going to make the depression of the 1930s look like a summer beach picnic in comparison. It absolutely, absolutely is. The housing market is continuing to worsen. We're looking at perhaps another drop by another 20% in housing prices across the country, despite all of the, you know, the bulldozing of houses and the keeping of houses off the markets to try and create an artificial shortage, to try and drive the prices back up, to rebuild the housing bubble that everybody could base all this credit on. That's failed. That's utterly failed. And this is probably a big reason why the World Bank is saying the economy is not recovering. People are renting. People are doubling up. As I mentioned last week, one of our close family members, fixed income, she's retired. She's having to sell her house and start renting. Everything she's worked for in her life is dissolving in front of her eyes because of government mismanagement. Government mismanagement. Speaking of that, Obama's latest surrender to Wall Street. This is one of the things they're trying to distract you from with all the stuff about Iran and North Korea. This new regulatory reform that they're trying to push through basically is handing control of the U.S. economy to the Federal Reserve, a privately owned bank. I think this was the Federal Reserve's idea. And basically, it was the Federal Reserve system that over the last almost 100 years took our nation from being one of the wealthiest with the highest standard of living for the American people and has turned it into a looming third world debt crisis. And that's what private banks do. Private banks cannot exist unless there is debt on the people. That's why banks love war. And they don't care which side wins and which side loses because both sides go into debt and they spend the lives of their population paying to the bank for the debt, paying to the bank for the debt. In the case of Federal Reserve, it's not like they're loaning you money out of their own pocket. They just print it up. I mean, what a sweet deal. A printing press, paper and ink, and you loan it out the door and then people have to slave their lives away to bring it back to you plus interest. That is the system we have been living under. And now the federal government is turning over all economic national policy to that same gang of legalized counterfeiters. And this is the big story. This is what's really going on while they try and distract you with a coup d'etat in Iran and trying to turn a missile test by North Korea into a dire threat against us here in Hawaii. It's all distraction. It's all changing the focus. It's keeping you pointed on Iran and North Korea and not talking about the greatest sellout of the nation in our nation's history. They're giving the economy to a private bank to run. Now, if the government isn't going to run the economy, of what use are they? Why should there even be a federal government if they're just going to turn over fiscal policy to the Federal Reserve? They've made themselves useless and irrelevant. They've delegitimized themselves with torture and lies and deceptions to start wars, two more of which they've cranked up full tilt boogie rock and roll. It's just amazing. You should be paying attention to this. Yes, it's important that the United States is trying to restage the 1953 overthrow of the democratically elected government of Iran. That's an important story. But the real story is the sellout of the nation's economy to a privately owned bank. You go back and you study history all that you want. This has never worked out for the people of a country when their economy is given to a private bank to manage. You think that bank is going to be interested in taking care of you? Absolutely not. They're going to plunge you deeper into debt to keep you an indentured servant, to keep you enslaved to them and your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. That's what's going on here. You are being sold into slavery by your government to the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank. We're going to go to the phone. Sean in Minnesota. Aloha, Sean. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey there. Aloha to you, Mike. Well, I don't know how realistic this is, Mike, but hey, everybody's entitled to some wishful thinking once in a while. The idea that I've got is to arrest these criminal scumbag offshore banksters who are all members of the Illuminati, bring them up on charges and get some indictments and get these scumbags lifetime prison sentences for defrauding the public here, because they are the ones who are causing this mess. They are the ones who've been doing this every so many years. The only one that we ever hear about is the 20s to 30s boom and bust cycle, but America has had approximately 100 of these boom and bust cycles. The 20s to 30s ones, it has been the first extreme one, and I agree with what you're saying. The one that's going on now is going to make the 20s to 30s one look tame by comparison.
Okay, well, Sean, let me cut in here for just a second. First of all, in response to your comment about arresting the bankers, yeah, after the revolution, that's definitely on the top 10 list of things to do. And if you look at the French Revolution, there was much the same situation there. And remember, the American Revolution was fought, at least in part, to throw off this kind of central bank economy. It was the Currency Act by King George III that provoked public outrage and support for the revolution. We threw out that kind of a banking system. And then our own government sold us back into it back in 1913. And now they're completing the transaction. They're turning our lives over to this private bank even as we speak right now. And yeah, definitely, I think it's a treasonable offense. And in a post-revolutionary America, yeah, I see jail terms for all of these guys. Of course, they'll be long gone. They'll be off to other countries and Liechtenstein and Monaco and the Caymans and
yes,
Bermuda and anywhere else they think that they can, you know, sit there on the beach and play canasta with Ken Lay and laugh at how much money they got from us.
Yeah, well, you're right about the revolution, Mike. The Boston Tea Party, for example, actually had nothing to do with tea. What that was about was Britain trying to impose its debt money system on the colonies.
That's exactly right. That's what it was. Okay, Sean, we got to take a break. I'm going to let you go here. Thank you very much for the phone call. Please call in again. We're going to take a break. 800-259-9231. When we come back, continuing about the economy and then getting into the very obvious coup d'etat in Iran right now. We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy. But I sure wish, if I had no moral sense at all, if I was completely unethical, cold-hearted bastard, I would love to be working for Goldman Sachs right now. After taking $3 billion in your taxpayer money as a bailout, they're getting ready to give to their executives record-setting bonus payments. The money is flowing from your pocket right into the wallets of the top executives of Goldman Sachs. That is the net result of all the shenanigans Congress has been doing for the last 6 months. Forget about all the charts and tables and fancy buzzwords and legislation. The net result is money is sucked from you and put into the pockets of the Goldman Sachs executives. This on a day when the stock market fell 200 points. Now, perhaps for this reason, a congressman today has done the proposition as an anti-terror precaution. They want to enclose the viewing gallery in the Capitol building in plexiglass. In other words, they want to put this big, heavy, thick sheet of plexiglass along where you would stand to look down on the floor of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. And I actually think this is a good idea, because this will prevent members of Congress from leaping up and savaging any tourists that might have the smell of money or small boys on them. So I think it's a really good idea. We're going to go to the phones. Clarence in Oklahoma, welcome to the show. Clarence, what's on your mind?
Oh, he just cracked me up there with that last comment. I love that. Give me a moment. I'll compose myself.
Okay. But, go to another caller if you want. Go ahead.
What's going on here? And, you know, and I can tell you're fired up today. I can tell when you're fired up.
I got some new coffee in here today.
Yeah. I love it, because you're hitting all this stuff right on the head. And the thing is, now, I'm not a big conspiratorial type. I know there are conspiracies. And 'cause, you know, there are people that dismiss them out of hand. But then there's always that thing, you know, if two people get together to rob a store, that's a conspiracy. You know, they
absolutely is. There's a law against it. Would they pass a law against something that didn't exist?
Exactly. And it's called what, criminal syndicalism or something. Like, I can't even say it right now. But the thing is, the things that are going on in Iraq and Korea, well, not particularly, I mean, Iran, rather, and Korea.
Yes.
Now, Korea, I'm not so sure about, but that seems awfully fishy to me, what's going on in Iran.
Yes.
And I'll tell you my thinking. Because I used to work for the federal government, and I know what kind of, I can't even say the words on the radio. So, in any way.
Yeah, they'll take the license away from this here radio station.
They're already listening. They already know who I am, so I don't care. But, it's the way magicians do things.
Misdirection.
They get your attention at one thing, and then they pull their trick at another place.
Yes.
And what they're doing right now is, I think this may be, and I have no doubt the CIA and the MI6 and whoever else is involved in what's going on over there right now. I'm not going to say who's wrong and who's right. We don't have a dog in this fight. That's for those people to decide. But
Well, obviously the federal government doesn't agree with you. I mean, and I was planning on getting into this at this time anyway, but, I mean, the United States has a very long history of going in and overthrowing governments they don't like to install puppet governments they do like. I mean, in the last 24 hours, have you seen how much press coverage the son of the Shah of Iran is getting? And now we're finding out he has been planning and working with CIA and Mossad and MI6 and all the rest of the, he's been plotting a return to power. And so what I keep telling the people of Iran is this coup d'etat is a repeat of 1953 when the U.S. government, when the CIA overthrew the democratically elected government of Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh and they threw him out and they installed the Shah of Iran. And on the peacock throne, and it brought about the Savak and just this incredible repression of the Iranian people until finally there was a flashback in 1979 that brought the Ayatollahs to power. And now the U.S. government is saying, well, we're going to show you, by golly, that we can put a Shah in Iran. And that's what this is all about. And these people who've been suckered into helping Mossavi, and they think it's going to be better for them afterwards, no, it isn't, because the people who helped bring down Mossadegh got suckered. I mean, look at all the people in Vietnam that were supporting the U.S. They all got abandoned at the end when the U.S. pulled out. I mean, and the people who helped, you know, the attempted overthrow against Castro in Cuba, they got abandoned. The U.S. government has no loyalty whatsoever. The people are either useful or they're not, and when it's all over, they just get dropped. Again, Afghanistan, the reason so many of those people turned against the U.S. is when they were useful to us against the Soviet Union, we gave them money and weapons and arms, and then once the Soviet Union fell, absolutely nothing. And Afghanistan devolved into civil war, and they had to sort out their own mess without U.S. help. And again, it's the same mistake over and over again, and that's what's going on here. And now they've got this young lady, what was her name? I'm looking down here.
Neda.
Oh, she's the bloody shirt they're waving all over the place. Now, the reality is nobody really knows who shot her. Okay? They have, you know, they're saying, oh, it's the Iran's government shot her. Why would they, when it so obviously plays to the propaganda advantage of Mossavi?
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got the son of the Shah of Iran is carrying a picture of her in his pocket, and he's adopted her as one of his spiritual daughters. I mean, this is so obvious, I'm ready to hurl with this guy just going on and on about this. But look how much coverage he's getting. Folks, they're going to bring back the Shah. They've got his son. They're grooming him. They're positioning him. They're going to say, Iran is in turmoil. There is no government. Let's bring back the Shah. That's what they're going to do. And these people in Iran who think they're fighting for democracy because they want their guy to win and Ahmadinejad to be out, they're all suckers. They're all being suckered because they're not going to get what they want. All they're going to do is take away the government that two-thirds of Iran voted for.
Absolutely. I think you've nailed that absolutely precisely, because I thought the same thing about mm-hmm. when she was shot. Who did the shooting and from where? And it's a convenient way to get a martyr.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Well, you remember in the run-up? Remember in the run-up to Operation Desert Storm, and they had that girl who was the Kuwaiti nurse at the United Nations talking
about the babies out of the
exactly the one
and incubators and everything.
Complete hoax.
That wasn't true.
That was a complete hoax. It was a manufactured public relations campaign by Hill and Knowlton working for the U.S. government to trick Americans into hating Iraq enough to send their money and their children to die in a war of conquest.
It's amazing.
Clarence,
well, okay,
stay on the phone.
I appreciate it.
Going to stay with us, Clarence? Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the push into Iran, the push for a coup d'etat, the push to bring back the Shah, or more accurately, his son. And all of a sudden, the Shah is getting a lot of press. He's being put out there in the forefront of the Western media campaign against Iran. If Mousavi thinks that he will be the ruler of Iran after Ahmadinejad is brought down, he is sorely mistaken. He is a pawn. We are continuing to find more and more indications that the U.S. government has already made an agreement with the crown prince, or the clown prince, of Iran, to install him as a new Shah, to take Iran all the way back to 1953, when the U.S. had unfettered access to Iran's oil, and the Iranian people got absolutely nothing from it. Forget about democracy. Iran's rulership under the Shah was built as a constitutional monarchy, but there were no elections. Once they had the Shah of Shahs is how he called himself. Once they had the Shah, that was it. There were no elections. There was no change. There was no democratic reform. The only reform came in 1979 when there was the Islamic Revolution. The U.S. government is starting that cycle all over again. Now, I know we've got a caller waiting on the line. We're going to get to you in a minute, but I want to go over a couple of stories just from the past few months. Okay, story one, mounting accusations of voter fraud in Iraq's elections. There was vote fraud in Iraq's elections earlier this year. The U.S. installed government, and there's vote fraud. Another flashback, women used in huge voter fraud in Afghanistan. Another flashback, Iraq admits fraud in election. All of these stories are currently on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. Do you remember anybody in the corporate media making anywhere near a big deal about Iraq and Afghanistan's admitted vote fraud as they are about Iran? And mind you, there is no proof that there's actually vote fraud in Iran. It's just constant haranguing. It had to be fake because we don't like the guy who won. This is what happened in Gaza. They had elections in Gaza. Hamas won. Israel and the United States didn't want that outcome. And they just started stomping on Hamas and throwing white phosphorus on them and say, go away, you weren't supposed to win. That's what's happening in Iran right now. And they're grooming the Shah of Iran's son to be the new leader of whatever government they're going to install. It's the same dirty trick all over again. And there are numerous articles on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com today about how the Shah of Iran has been working for, the son of the Shah has been working for this all this time. We're going to go to the phones. Mike in Georgia. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
I just kind of want to prompt you on three things. All of them have to do with this crap that's going on with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is when they talk about that they funded covert activity. And mm-hmm. what the word covert actually means, you know, because all these people that they're having on TV, they're representing as knowledgeable people from Iran and stuff about what's going on over there. And then they bring up the fact that there's a covert operation going on again over there, almost exactly like what they did previously. Mm-hmm. And also, each time they do this, when they talk about the election and stuff, they talk about the candidates, and then they say, and there's, with that, you know, with Ahmadinejad, there's the nuclear concern. They don't mm-hmm. go into what the nuclear concern is, but there is one. They don't talk about, you know, who's abiding by the treaty, who actually has nuclear weapons, who's a rogue nation and won't sign the nuclear proliferation treaty. And one other little thing I wanted to bring up, it's not really a little thing, but as to why these Iranians are so upset, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's like SAVAK. It's
yeah.
the secret police that was put in there with the help of the CIA and British intelligence. And what became the people of Iran after the guy that, you know, the was installed through Operation Ajax
mm-hmm.
got in power? What he did mm-hmm. to them?
Yes, it was worse than the Gestapo.
Okay, I'm going to let you go so I can listen to you on the radio, but once again, I want you to concentrate on explaining to them what covert activity is. That's not meddling like your mother-in-law does to you. That's a military operation. That's why they got CIA doing it. That's why they got military intelligence doing it. And, you know, the nuclear concern and the secret police that was put in after 1953.
All right, well, let me start with covert operation. We know already that in complete defiance of the 1981 Algiers Accord, President George W. Bush signed an authorization for covert or black operations against Iran to destabilize their government. What do they mean by covert? It means infiltration, agents provocateurs, propaganda campaign, political disruption, same kind of stuff Richard Nixon was doing to the Democrats, dirty tricks, fun and games. You know, there's another term they use, but again, I can't use it on the radio. It begins with the word rat, and you can fill in the rest yourself. And that's what it means. Anything that can be done to make it more difficult for the present government of a country to function, leading to the eventual collapse of that government, can include massive counterfeiting of their currency, disruption of their economy, any way that you can do it. It's basically any dirty trick you can think of. And the U.S. government budgeted $400 million last year to start a campaign of covert action against the government of Iran. So here we are in the present situation. We've got this Mousavi character who is the current face of the opposition. Supposedly, the democracy has broken down in Iran, or at least that's the propaganda claim. And we're seeing all of this violence in the city. And yet the violence is being committed by a small handful of people, most of whom seem to not even be Iranian. They're from outside. At least that's what we're getting, you know, from the Iranian government. As they finally arrest some of them, they say they're finding more and more of them are from outside Iran. They're just there on passports and stuff. So we're seeing all of this activity. Now, as far as the Shah of Iran and Savak, when the Shah was installed in 1953, when the democratically elected government of Mossadegh was overthrown by the Central Intelligence Agency, the Shah was installed as the leader of Iran. Shah means king. Shahmat is the king is dead, from where chess players get the expression checkmate, Shahmat. So anyway, so the Shah was installed, the king of kings, and he ruled Iran with an iron fist. He gave all kinds of oil and other concessions to British and American interests, who became very, very rich, while the Iranian people got poorer and poorer and poorer. It should be a very familiar pattern. It's the same game they played putting Batista in power in Cuba, Ferdinand Marcos in the Philippines, Pinochet in Chile. It's just the same game over and over and over again. And the Savak was the secret police of the Shah of Iran. And anybody who spoke out, who tried to agitate for true democratic reform, the Savak would come down on them, much in the manner of the Gestapo. And so this is a warning going out to the people of Iran. If you fall for this American-sponsored coup d'etat, if you lose your democratically elected government again, you're going to get a new Shah. They're already polishing this guy in the media. Look at all the media coverage he's getting, especially with that photo in his breast pocket. It's almost shameless. This guy's literally dancing on top of this woman's dead body to try and make himself the new leader of Iran. It's like the way Jesse Jackson was waving around Martin Luther King's bloody shirt in order to advance his political career in the aftermath of that assassination. So it's just shameful. All right, and we've got another caller on the line real quick. Jeff in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to bring up for anybody that, you know, has
okay, Jeff, I cannot hear you. The phone connection is really, really bad.
Sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay. All right, Jeff, I'm going to have to let you go because I can't hear a word you're saying there. All right. All right, we're getting down to the bottom of the segment here. Folks, I mean, I understand a big part of the reason that we're seeing North Korea and Iran is to distract you from the fact that the federal government is handing control of your economy to a private bank. But the situation in Iran is very clearly a repeat of 1953. It is a U.S.-backed coup d'etat, Velvet Revolution, Orange Revolution, whatever name you want to call it. It is the same dirty trick. And this is the reason the rest of the world hates us. It's not because of our freedoms, most of which we don't have anymore. It's because the U.S. government screws around with other people's...
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here.
And Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, the media is still going on, Iran, Iran. Look over at Iran. Forget about the crashing economy. Forget about American homelessness and starvation and privation and the worst depression in our history. Forget about the fact that the U.S. government is handing control of the economy to a privately owned bank, most of whose owners are not even American. Forget about all that. We're going to give you Iran. Iran is the distraction du jour. And look at how the government forces are dealing with those democracy lovers and everything like that. I mean, the spin is really pathetically obvious. Remember the Rodney King riots? South Central Los Angeles, they used to call it Watts. Not anymore. And remember, I mean, the media coverage of all that and what was going on down there and the police. I mean, at first the police ran like heck. And they came back in and they started shutting the rioters down. Now, how would it have felt if the foreign press were bashing the LAPD, much the way our media is bashing the Iranian government, for basically shutting down violent rioters? That's what's going on here. The people that the Iranian National Guard are dealing with, and they called out the National Guard in Los Angeles, the people that the Iranian National Guard are dealing with are the people who are breaking stuff, setting fires, trying to cause a ruckus, trying to cause as much mayhem as they can. And why is it okay for the LAPD to do it to the Rodney King rioters, and not okay for the legitimate elected government of Iran to do it to what basically amounts to an attempted coup d'etat? And this reveals the bias in the Western media perceptions of what's going on in Iran. When you see the footage of what's going on in Tehran, just remember, this is the same situation they had during the Rodney King riots. And I lived in L.A. when this was all going down. I know what it feels like at the time. Some of the chat room people are saying, yes, they lived in Downey at the time. So, anyway, moving right along here, of course, I want to get back to this Neda, this very attractive young lady who was shot and killed, and there's this very tragic video of her that is just all over the place. She's the new martyr to the cause of the Iranian revolution, or the Iranian coup d'etat, depending upon your point of view. There's only one small problem. Nobody really knows who shot her. And you need to ask yourself, as you have to ask yourself anytime you see a big piece of propaganda, no matter how bloody and tragic, who does it benefit for this woman to have been killed and to die on camera? It certainly does not benefit the Iranian government. It certainly does benefit Mousavi and now the Crown Prince. He's exploiting her just as hard as he can. He's standing on her dead body, putting the picture in his pocket and saying, she is now one of my daughters. It's almost nauseating how obvious and pathetic this piece of propaganda is. And, it's propaganda here. And they're trying to wave her, and she's the new face of the cause and so forth and so on. Folks, this is a sucker play. This is a repeat of 1953. And they're going to couch it as democracy this and freedom that, because that's the selling point the U.S. uses anytime they want to invade a country. Vietnam was sold to America because we were bringing democracy to these people. Every single war, every single military intervention the U.S. has done since the end of World War II, you are always told we're bringing democracy and the benefits of the American way of life to these people. And what they actually get is a tyrannical dictatorship, a puppet ruler who crushes the people down economically for the benefit of American corporations. We did it with Batista in Cuba. We did it with Marcos in the Philippines. We did it with Pinochet in Chile over and over and over again. Haiti, another good case. It just goes on. This is the way the American government conducts its foreign policy. You're never told this. You're told that we're heroes. We're doing wonderful things for these places that we invade. We're bringing them freedom. And folks, you have to understand, common sense tells you that's nonsense. You don't make people free by pointing guns and bombs at them. You make people free by leaving them alone. And that is something the U.S. government never does. It's always using your children and your money to invade other countries toss out the government they don't like and put in the government they do like, to impoverish those people and bring wealth to American corporations. In many ways, it is strikingly similar to the model of the Roman Empire, a central empire that is wealthy beyond belief and a bunch of controlled provinces that are impoverished in order that their wealth be transferred to that central empirical city, in this case, Washington, D.C. and Wall Street. And you get to pay for it. You get to pay for the money they're using to control you and lie to you. Hill and Knowlton, the public relations firm that came up with the whole story about the stolen incubators in Iraq, the U.S. government is one of their biggest clients. They make hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, lying to you for the U.S. government. As bad as our economy is, lying to the public is the growth industry. Look at the people who are out there at the forefront of telling you lies, and look how much money they make for it. Wealth isn't the sign of the elect. Wealth is the sign of the deceiver in our society and in our corporate media. Fortunately, the American people are turning away from that. The latest Zogby poll says most of you are coming to the blogs and the alternative media to get your political news, which means the U.S. government has lost the battle for the minds of America, and it may be why they're trying to move as fast as they are, to see if they can find some way to consolidate power before the American people really do reach that flashpoint the way the Romanians did. Nobody knows where it is. That's the scary thing about it. Nobody knows what it's going to take. In Romania, it caught everybody by surprise. Sporting event turned into a spontaneous political rally. 3 weeks later, Ceausescu was dead. It could happen just that fast here, and nobody knows what might set it off. Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto, after he found out that the attack on Pearl Harbor had actually preceded the official Japanese declaration of war, described America as a sleeping giant, slow to rouse, but filled with a terrible anger. Now, Americans have been a sleeping giant. We've slept a little too long, in my opinion. But I have no doubt that that anger and that rage is still out there. It is just looking for a focal point to give it direction and purpose. Everyone's worried about a revolution in Iran. I think it's being used to distract Americans from the fact that there is ample cause for a revolution right here. If for no other reason than the fact that the U.S. federal government is handing complete control of your economy to a primarily foreign-owned private bank. And if that isn't enough for you, how about all the torture? How about the spying, the reading of your email, the lying, the deceptions, tricking us into war? Yet more evidence has emerged over the weekend how Tony Blair and George Bush just set out to find some way to start a war in Iraq. They didn't care if there were weapons of mass destruction. They didn't care if Iraq had anything to do with 9/11. The goal was to invade Iraq. That was the agenda. We will make war on Iraq. It doesn't matter if they've done nothing to us. We just have to come up with something to fool those stupid, dumb, idiot taxpayers into going along with us. And unfortunately, with Iraq, it worked. So the big question here as we crank down to the end of our Monday show here is, are you dumb and stupid enough to fall for a new Iranian revolution to install the son of the Shah? Because that's what they're hoping. They're hoping that you can get suckered in by more media manipulation into saying, yes, let's kick out the government that the voters of Iran wanted and put in a new king who can never be voted out of office no matter what he does to the people. We're living in the 21st century here, people. We've outgrown the need for kings. We've outgrown the need for tyrants and dictators. They don't want to leave, even though it's pretty much clear their time has passed. And it's time for them to fade into history, all of them, both in Iran and here in the United States. That's it for our show. We're going to be back here tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Central Time. Who knows what insanity will ensue between now and then. So until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully. Cinnamon on your morning cinnamon toast, and aloha, America.